The Kings of Macedonia, Alexander the Great, Persepolis, Part 3, The Burning. Arrian reports a debate between Alexander and his companions over what to do with the royal district at Persepolis, with Parmenio arguing that it should be preserved and used since, quote, it was not good to destroy what was now his own property, end of quote. In addition, he claimed the Asians would assume he had come just to plunder and destroy rather than forging a new kingdom, and therefore would not feel it was worth joining him. However, Alexander wanted to punish the Persians and opted to destroy everything. And for once, Arrian felt that the king was wrong and his old subordinate right. Plutarch and others recount another tradition, which has Alexander holding a feast where, in true Macedonian fashion, the wine flowed freely. Philip had liked to celebrate whenever the opportunity offered on a campaign, and a few anecdotes make it clear that Alexander did the same. Present was an Athenian courtesan, the great Greek hetaire, which literally means female companion, named Theas, who at some point became the mistress of Ptolemy the historian, bearing him 3 children and later becoming his wife. There were other courtesans, as quite a few of the officers seemed to have kept lovers as well as female entertainers. As the night wore on, Theas proclaimed that it would be a splendid thing for Alexander to avenge the burning of Athens by Xerxes by setting the royal palace and halls alight. The revenge all the sweeter because it would be inflicted by Greek women. According to Curtius, the king, more greedy for wine than able to carry it, cried, "Why do we not then avenge Greece and apply torches to the city?" They formed a kumas, a merry procession of revelers who went out into the street after many of a successful party in Greece and something Alexander had done in the past. As girl musicians played flutes, Alexander hurled a torch to set the buildings on fire. And in some accounts, Theas threw the second torch. The blaze flared up, and at first soldiers hurried to the spot to fight the fire, until they realized that the king had started it. The two stories are not compatible. Months had been spent stripping out all of the items of value. But even so, there were plenty of small items of gold, such as coins and fittings, buried under the debris when the fire brought down the timbered roofs. This suggests that although the destruction was carefully prepared, it happened suddenly and before everything had been picked bare. Few torches were unlikely to have started a conflagration unless quantities of combustible material had already been arranged to feed the blaze. While hammer blows on some of the sculptures attested deliberate destruction over a period of time, the balance of probability is that Alexander decided to destroy the royal precincts and made preparations to do the job thoroughly. Perhaps drunken enthusiasm led him to start the fire sooner than planned, or perhaps the whole story is another invention. Occupation of Persepolis showed Darius's weakness, and its destruction emphasized his impotence. As a mark of Alexander's overwhelming strength, they sent a message to the Persians that further resistance was futile. On the other hand, there were fresh and terrible humiliations inflicted on a sacred place where the bond between God, king, and subjects was confirmed. Alexander's actions could readily provoke outrage and might make it harder for people to accept Alexander as their new ruler. Merely occupying the site had not prompted a flood of surrenders, so perhaps he had little to lose, for it is unlikely that he ever wished to be seen as Darius's successor, and was always ruler by right of conquest. For a Greek audience, it was a culmination of the War of Revenge, a great achievement by the cities who had allied together at Corinth under the leadership they had appointed. When Persepolis burned, Alexander may not have known that Aegeus the Spartan was dead and his war was over. So perhaps this was a gesture to remind the Poli that Sparta was a collaborator with the true enemy, Persia. If he did know that the Spartans were beaten, then he may have wanted to send back news of the great triumph achieved by the Greeks under his leadership. Some sources say he came to regret the destruction and ordered that the fires be brought under control, that the royal precinct was destroyed and never reoccupied, so his concern was probably more for the wider city. Alexander had sat on Darius's throne, plundering his treasure, and burned his palace. To many in his army, this must have seemed that victory was complete. Well, we know it's not complete because he still has to chase Darius down, and he's going to continue on all the way to India. But this is an interesting story. If you look at the surviving archaeological site at Persepolis, it's obvious the palace was burned. You can see that the scored darkened palace area, the big palace area. And of course, the city itself was separated from the gigantic palace complex. So it is likely that there really wasn't any threat to the city if the burning were done accidentally, and even having it being started by whichever version one assumes. It could have been started simply by a bunch of Greeks knocking over a brazier of fire. The palace has had tons of tapestries and curtains and all sorts of other things, so it wouldn't have taken much to have set it on fire. And then once it gets up into the roof, then it would just continue on. But at any rate, it burned down for whatever purpose. It does seem that Alexander did gain a lot, and he had a chance to, it could have cost him some. But I think everybody in the group wanted something to avenge Athens, so to speak. And of course, after this time, he'll eventually be using Babylon for the most part as his capital. He uses Ecbatana and Susa as administrative centers and as treasure storage centers. But when he comes back from India, he's going to go to Babylon and he will stay there for the most part. So we do know this does happen. You've gotten the two most likely accounts. And so Persepolis burns to the ground. Now, if some people were planning on going home, that's not going to happen because we still have to chase Darius down and we're still going to have quite a bit of an expansion of Alexander's kingdom all the way to India. Now, the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. Some additional sources for the sections on Alexander rules would include, of course, Arians, The Campaigns of Alexander, In the Footsteps of Alexander the Great by Michael Wood, The Wars of Alexander the Great by Haeckel, and The Story of Alexander's Empire by Mahaffey. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.